similar to that, that'll have the same theme. So come back tonight and hear the other one, okay? I'm going to read scripture from a couple of different places. I'm going to go to Revelation 2:7 first. If you'll go there with me, you'll remember this verse of scripture because I've already been in it. Remember, this is the third and the fourth garden that we're going to be covering. We covered Garden 1 and 2, the Garden of Eden and the Garden of Gethsemane last Sunday. And today I'll tie them in together so you won't have to worry about missing those two first gardens if you missed them. But these are the four main gardens of the Bible: the Garden of Eden, the Garden of Gethsemane, the Garden of Golgotha, and the Garden of God in the heavens. You're going to like it now. Now let's read that first verse, okay? Actually, I may read a little more, but I'm going to read verse 7. Here we go. He that hath an ear. What do you do with the ears? You hear. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh. Now this is not on your own. You don't overcome on your own. If you don't have Jesus, you're not overcoming. He's your way. He that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. That's the fourth garden that we'll cover today. Turn back. I was going to take a little time and read all of these because you remember we went through these seven churches not long ago. And at the end of every one of the seven churches, he always says, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. So he says it just a little differently. He gives us different things that are going to happen to those of the seven churches. But I'm not going to seven churches now. I'm going back to the garden. I just want to take you back to the garden. Go back with me to John chapter 19 now. John chapter 19. Now, look at verse 38. And after this, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for fear of the Jews, besought Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus, and Pilate gave him leave. He asked for the body, and Pilate said, okay, you can have it. Seems a little cold to treat it like that, doesn't it? Just, let me have the body. Well, yeah, you can have the body. We're talking about our Lord's body. But Joseph Arimathea, he wanted to take care of this body. This was important to him. But to Pilate, it didn't make that much difference to him. He just said, okay, you can do it. He came, therefore, and took the body of Jesus. And there came also Nicodemus, which at the first came to Jesus by night and brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 100-pound weight. Well, Nicodemus had an experience with him, didn't he? Now he's tying himself in a little closer here. Then took they, did it together. Now when we work in the garden, folks, we do it together. I don't know if that's as important to you as it is to me, but it is very important that we work together. It's not just a few people's responsibility to work the garden. Everybody that partakes of the garden should work the garden. Amen? Should be something you can do. If it's nothing but just put a little seven dust on the beans so the bugs don't eat them. Now, some of you, that went right over your head. You don't know about beans and seven dust, do you? Well, that's okay. I'll explain it later, because when I'm making a parallel to the service of God, the garden of the service of God, and I make it according to the gardens down here, please keep that in mind, because it all has to do with everything. Watch this. Then took they the body of Jesus and wound it in linen clothes, laying it in, laying with the spices, as the manner of the Jews is to bury. Now, in the place where he was crucified, there was a what? A garden. Now, it wasn't right there at the cross, but it was in the place. There was a garden there. Wasn't it good that God made sure that where his son, Jesus Christ, was going to die, that there would be a place to lay him, a place of rest, a place of peace. Now, in the place where he was crucified, there was a garden, and in the garden, a new sepulcher, wherein was never man yet laid. There laid they Jesus. Therefore, because of the Jews' preparation day, for the sepulcher was nigh at hand. Just happened to be there. Isn't God good? Now let's bow our heads, because we're going to get into some garden work. Our Father in heaven, thank you. We do thank you, Lord, so much for what you have done for us here today. Already you have blessed us. I thank you for allowing us to come to the garden alone while the dew is still on the roses. And Lord, that you hold us by the hand and talk to us and we get to talk to you. Thank you so much for that. And Lord, if there's anyone here today who does not know what it's like to walk in the garden with you, Lord, I pray that today they'll get to know you through your special, precious Son, Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. A couple of years ago, we started a theme on January called Now's the Time. Y'all remember that? We had the black T-shirts and Now's the Time on them, and everybody got into that, and it was really good, and we were talking about Now's the Time. Well, that's not changed. Just because a couple of years have gone by, now's still the time. It'll always be the time. There'll never not be a time to tell people about Jesus. And now's the time to begin that. As we work in the garden, it's just going to be a little bit different tune than the one we had back then a couple of years ago. When I was young, I sang that song that Myla sang, and I thought she was going to do another favorite of mine this morning, but she came up and she said, "No, I'm not doing that one." I said, "Well, okay, Myla, do your thing." So anyway, she started this song, and I've always loved this song. I don't know what it is about it, but I just love it. And it wasn't because Elvis Presley sang it either. Just wanted you to smile now. It's okay. Elvis didn't do a bad job on it, but I knew it long before I ever knew about Elvis Presley. But it was a good song. I don't know who wrote it. Does anybody know who wrote it? Nobody knows? Yeah, famous songwriter. Tom knows. They eat chicken at his house. So I come to the garden alone while the dew is still on the roses, and it just sets that song up for you to walk into the garden and take the Lord's hand and just walk down the path with him and just have such a good time, because that's what gardens are about. Now, I talk to Tony sometimes about gardens, but a few years ago, Tony had a flower garden, and people would be driving up the road. See, there are different gardens. There's flower gardens, vegetable gardens. There's all kinds of gardens, you know, bushes and roses and stuff. Anyway, he had a flower garden, and I think it was mostly, what were those you had in there, Tony? Zinnias, yeah. I guess they were all zinnias. I don't know, but they were absolutely beautiful. And people would drive up the road in front of his house, and they would stop and look, because it was that pretty. A garden will do that to you. A garden will make you stop, whether it's flowers or vegetables or whatever. I have people coming down the alley behind my house where my garden is, and when my tomatoes are turning red, they stop. I say, "Don't get out of your car. That's for my first tomato mayonnaise sandwich." No, I actually, if I see somebody, they'll if they make a statement like, boy, you're going to have some pretty tomatoes there. I said, well, when you come back up the road here, just grab you one. And not the biggest one in there either. You leave that one for me. No, I don't do that. But I say, if you want to come in here and get you a cucumber or a tomato or a pepper or whatever, you just come right on in there and get it. It'll be okay, because that's what gardens are for. How many of y'all done gardening? You raise a garden to share it. Amen? You do. That's part of the pleasure of having a garden is sharing it. So a garden is a place for a lot of different things. And I know there's more than this, but here are some things that I remember it being to me, okay? And so it's a garden. A garden is a place of provision. It provides things that you want. It provides things that you need. So it's a place of provision. When my garden begins to come in and I see it's ready, I head out there and get my big old tomato and go in and get my jar of mayonnaise and my salt and pepper shaker. And I have me one of the juiciest, biggest old sandwiches. There might be tomato running down corners of my mouth. I love it so much. But it provides that for me, and I love that. But when we say it's a place of provision, and we love that part of it, it's also a place of work. Nothing comes easy. You've heard that phrase. Well, it's the same in the work of the Lord. We think that it's supposed to happen, so it'll happen. No matter what I do, if I don't do anything, it's going to happen. It may, but are we responsible to do what God wants us to do in the garden? Remember last Sunday I was talking about how me and Dave and Tom were, and Steve, my other brother, how we were told to get in the garden, pull the weeds, hold the corn, stuff, and if we didn't do it right the first time, we'd do it again. We'd do it over. That's the way my dad was. He just lived that way, and I kind of hope I pass that on to my children, that if you don't do it right the first time, you'll have to do it again. And so it's a place of work. But what's wrong with work? Not a thing. Now, some folks, it scares to death. But there's not a thing. By the way, if you want to feel good, do a little work. If you do some work, something's going to happen from that work. You're going to see the results of that work, and you're going to stand back, as old Les used to do when he'd mow the yard. He would mow about 3 or 4 strips of it, and he'd stop. He'd look back and see where he came from. Then he'd look, see what else was left. Then he'd mow 3 or 4 more strips and he'd stop. I think what he's trying to figure out was how many more strips he's going to have to do before that thing's finished. But when he got through, he looked over the whole thing and he was happy. He'd mowed the whole yard. And folks, when we get busy for the Lord and we see some things happening, I can assure you, your heart's going to swell. You're going to be a happy individual by working in the garden, because you're going to be provided for some things that you need. When you work in this garden for the Lord, it's not only the person that you're working toward is going to get the benefits of it. You're going to get benefited too. Everybody gets benefited when people work in the garden of the Lord. So keep that in mind. Now, back in the Old Testament Bible and other times, when they'd put gardens in, they would hedge them. It was a place, a protected place. When you walked into that garden, you felt protected. You felt like, I'm safe in this garden. And now, I don't, if squirrels and the rabbits and stuff weren't in mine, they just come on in and get what they want. And I don't bother them. They have to eat too, right? So I let them in. But in the Bible, it was a protected place. And I always feel protected when I'm in my garden. I don't know why. I just do. It's just a place. It's a place different than anything else in your yard or on your farm or wherever you are. It's just a different place. And so it's a place of protection. But one of the things that if you do a garden, you'll understand this. It's a place where you can fellowship. Now, what makes it different than anywhere else of getting in a garden with somebody and you're talking about your vegetables, you see your rows laid out and your stuff's coming up pretty and you got things to talk about, you know, how many tomato plants you got out and how many, you just talk and you fellowship. And it's great. You just don't want to leave the garden. Once you get working in the garden, you don't want to leave the garden. You just want to keep staying in the garden and keep working in it and seeing what God's got for you. Well, He's got all that. Now, if you've ever did gardening, you never did it in a disorganized way, because gardens are meant to be organized. If you go to Evergreen out here and tell them what size piece of land you have and you want to develop it, you want to, what do you guys do that sort of stuff? I just put it where I want it, but I plant it. Like if my flower garden, I plant the small stuff out front and the bigger stuff to the back so that you get a view of it all. Now, I'm not a professional. I'm just telling you what I do. I'm talking about organization. We're not going to work in the garden here at Liberty Fellowship if we're not organized to do it. And my position here is today is I want to help us organize so that we get out and reach as many people in God's garden as we possibly can this year so that we can see more people going to heaven, and we got to be organized to do that. If we don't plan it, it won't happen. It just won't. And I know that going to churches, we're not supposed to hear about work and organization and planning and stuff like that, but I disagree with you. This book was organized and planned by the Holy Spirit of God, and everything is in its right place. There's not a thing out of place. There's not one word out of place in here. When you read the Word of God, it comes together because that's the way it is. And when you look down my garden, you'll see everything in its own place. And the rows are as straight as I can make them. I don't measure them with them. I'm just good. I'll take my hoe handle and I'll make different places down the road where I'll know, and then I'll drag those rows and straight as it can be. Mike, you tell him that's true. Mike knows. He's been there. I love gardening. I love working in the garden. But I love more working in the garden of the Lord than anything in my life. I just love it. God gave me the passion to do it. He gave me the job. He gave me the work. He gave me the church. He gave me everything I need to get to work. And I'm going to stay at work, folks, if you don't mind. Y'all don't mind, do you? But in this place where all these good things happen and everything's good, bad things happen in the garden. Now, I just threw you for a loop, didn't I? Bad things happen in the garden. Now, I'm going to take you back to those gardens that we talked about to show you what I'm talking about when I say some bad things happen in the garden. And I know that when I say bad things, y'all went out there to that big tomato you've been watching. I'll just go back to the tomato. That big tomato that you've been watching, and you get out there and you say, I'm going to go get that rascal today. He's ready, and I'm going to get him. And you go out there, and a bird has been pecking the fool out of that thing. He's got a big old hole in it. And you say, boy, if I could get my hands on that bird. Just messed up your tomato. Bad things happen in the garden. And by the way, when you're out here working for the Lord, it's not going to be all roses. It's not. Satan's going to fight you up one side and down the other. He has never stopped. He's walking about seeking whom he may devour, and he's not going to stop. The person that you're trying to win to the Lord, he'll be trying to drag them into hell. Bad things happen in the garden. They do. To give you an idea, when you got in the Garden of Eden, it was paradise, wasn't it? God created it. He put everything right where it needed to be, and he says, I'm going to plant this garden because I want to walk in the cool of the evening with the man I created. I love him, and I want to spend time with him. I want to walk with him. But a bad thing happened in the garden of paradise, folks. Sin happened. That's a bad thing. It happened in the Garden of Gethsemane, where no doubt our Lord would take his disciples and go in and have a little Sunday school for them. He'd tell them what his plans were for the kingdom. And he'd say, here's what we're going to do. Fellas, we've got to get busy in this because time's going to run out one day and we've got some things to do. So he'd take them in the Garden of Gethsemane to do this. And what a beautiful place it must have been. It was a garden. But before he went to Calvary, he went in and you know what happened? There was a bad thing happened in the garden. They didn't do what he said. All he asked was, stay awake, watch and pray. I'm going back here. And he went back and suffered. He absolutely suffered so much that his sweat became as great drops of blood. You say, I can't imagine suffering. He was suffering, folks. That beautiful garden became a place of suffering. Garden of Golgotha. Beautiful garden. They're all beautiful. But it was a garden of death. Oh, but I got good news for that now. Death is not always bad. Are you with me? Because you see, had it not been for the death of Jesus Christ at Calvary, you would not have been able to taste the victory of knowing Jesus Christ as your Savior. So it wasn't just the garden of death, it was the garden of victory. It all, God has it all planned out for us to know this. The four gardens are actually our whole life laid out before us. When he did this, the full circle from beginning to end, the garden of sin, the garden of suffering, the garden of victory, the garden of eternity. We learned to turn from sin in the first garden. We learned to agonize when we stumble in the second garden. Those disciples didn't want to hurt him. They loved him. And when he asked them to watch and pray and they didn't, can you imagine how bad they felt? Even though you say, well, they did it a second time. Well, we probably have too. But it's a place where you stumble, and when you stumble, you learn that you've got to agonize about that stumbling, and you do something about it. So we learn a lot. We discover that there's victory in Jesus Christ in the third garden. Then we ultimately, one day, will see Jesus face to face in the fourth garden. So we have it all laid out for us here. Let's take a look at Golgotha. Okay, Golgotha, and then we'll get into the garden of God. Here we go. Death, the garden of death, which was actually the garden of victory. Had it not been for Calvary, I would not be saved today. Had he not hanged on that old rugged cross and shed his precious blood so that my sins could be covered, I would not be where I am. Thank God for that. Now, in the place where he was crucified, there was a garden. Just happened to be. Our victorious King of Kings and Lord of Lords had just conquered sin and Satan on the cross. He just did it. What a beautiful sight that was. Even though it was a death scene. Death was entering his body. It was taking him away. He had just conquered sin and Satan. How huge is that? And when he did that, I just think it was so fitting that God made sure there was a garden right handy there where the fellows who came to get his body wouldn't have to go too far. Just happened to be a new sepulcher. Just happened to be all set up for him. Everything was planned. Oh, did I say that if you're going to garden, you have to organize? Well, see, God's been in the garden business for a long time. When he created the Garden of Eden, he did it for man. Every garden that's ever been created, God had something to do with it, and he created it for mankind. So it just so happened that there had to be a garden here so that he could be placed in this tomb to rest. You say, well, God, Jesus didn't have to rest. Oh, wait a minute. There were a lot of times when he went out into wilderness to get away from man, because he needed to rest. He needed to get away and talk to his heavenly Father. That's a place of rest, by the way. And so he had this place where he was going to have his body laid and his body was going to rest in the tomb. But Did it scare anybody? His body would not stay there. Amen? His body was laid in there, and you say, oh, what a sad sight that is, that they put his body in that tomb, rolled that old stone up there and sealed it, and now he's in that old dark tomb in there. But folks, the good news is his body didn't stay there. And by the way, not only that, the tomb didn't stay closed either. He didn't have to have the tomb open to come out. He came out, the tomb was open, so that we could see that what we're going to experience today is really real. We have victory because of what happened at Golgotha. We have victory, and the open tomb was what spoke loudly to us and told us, hey, you've got victory in this today. Victorious of death by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We're going to resurrect one day. That's part of the garden that God has planned. That's the beauty of it. We're going to die down here. This old body is going to lay down. But one of these days, we're going to resurrect. Just like Jesus Christ resurrected, we're going to resurrect it. The same power of God that resurrected him will resurrect you. Same power, no difference. Believe in it. It's true. It never was a lie, never will be a lie. It's the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth. Jesus is alive. And death is conquered through him. And because death is conquered through him, we too will live. Do you know the victory, this victory in your life? Have you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior? And do you understand that one day when you pass away here and you go on out of here, that you're going to taste of that victory because your life is in Jesus Christ? If you don't know that, please know that, because it does come to every man, woman, boy, and girl. It's going to happen. So if you don't know it, I beg you to get to know this victory in your life. We need to share this victory. If we know it, and I know it, don't you? Are you saved today? I like that question Les said they asked Jackie. Are you saved? We should not have to hesitate. We shouldn't have to say, Judge Judy would say that's not an answer. Is not an answer. If somebody asks you if you're saved, how long does it take you to say, well, glory, yes, I am saved. I'm ready to go to heaven. Now, if you have to hesitate, you might want to say, hang on just a minute. I need to check some things out here. Because I want to be ready, don't you? I want to know I'm ready. I want to know that when I leave here, where I'm going. It's important that we know that, folks. So when we know this, we can share it. You don't have a problem sharing what you know. Did I get quiet? You don't have a problem sharing what you know. We got to know. We got to know, because we're going to be working in the garden, and we can't do it haphazardly. We can't do it in an unorganized way. We can't do it halfway. We got to do it right. He wants us to work in the garden. In the service of lives, lives depend on it. You know, I told you at one time gardens were a necessity. Today we work in gardens now because I enjoy it. I do. I might be a little crazy, but I love it. I love getting my tiller out there and tilling that stuff up and tearing it all to pieces. And I love laying those rows out. And every year, as long as I can remember, I've always laid those rows out, dropped that seed in, and waited for God to give the rain and the sunshine. And by the way, when you get out here in his garden and you begin to lay the rows out, you organize it and you say, I gotta reach John. I gotta reach Betty Lou. I gotta reach them, because time's gonna run out one day and I've gotta reach them. And you go out and you plant the seed of the Word of God in their heart, and you say, oh God, rain. God, please rain. Let the sun shine. Let me see that grow. I want to see them come to know Jesus Christ as their Savior. Oh, it's garden time, folks. We got to work in the garden. It's time. The Garden of Golgotha. This next one is a little more special to me today. It's the garden of the paradise of God, eternal life, the last garden. By the way, Garden of Eden was known as paradise. By the way, this one is too. Paradise lost, paradise found. Now watch this. The meaning of paradise is garden of delight. Garden of delight. When Adam and Eve walked in the garden with Jesus, it was absolutely delightful. I've eaten a lot of desserts in my day that had the name delight on them, and it was so good. Delight. Paradise is a garden of delight. And one of these days, when we get to this one, we're not leaving. It's an eternal garden. In the garden of delight. Do you want to be there? Who wouldn't want to be there? Who wouldn't want to be in the garden of delight? In eternity. You see, it's not through eternity. Eternity has no beginning, no ending. We're just going to be there. Just be in it. In the atmosphere of it. It's going to be wonderful. In Eden, we lost. What we lost was, as mankind, we lost that face-to-face. That face-to-face walk with the Lord. But when we get to paradise in heaven, when we get to that eternal paradise, we're going to see that face again. We're going to be with that face forever. And I've heard some of you say, Tom says this, I just want to see his face. When I get to glory, I just want to see his face. I have a whole lot of other reasons to be in heaven. I have a whole lot of other reasons to want to go there. But my main reason is to see the face of the one who died for me at Golgotha and was buried in that tomb so that I could know what it's like to understand the delight of being in paradise with him forever. Glory. What a garden he has planted for us, and what a garden that we have to work in today. Yes. You see, in Eden, he said, now you can partake of everything here, but don't touch this tree, the tree of life. You can't touch that. You can't partake of that. Oh, let me share something with you. Let me share something with you. You see, there they couldn't partake of it. But in the garden of God, where we're going, he says this. Oh, whoa, Lordy. I will give him to eat of the tree of life. We couldn't touch it before. Now we have it in eternity, and we can eat of it in eternity, never to stop. It's a garden of delight, folks. He gave that to us. The paradise of God is where there are no more tears. No more. You know, sometimes we have tears of joy, but there are also tears of pain and sorrow. And the city streets, the Bible says, are going to be with pure gold. And it's gold as transparent glass. How beautiful is that going to be? That's the garden he's going to place us in. Are we walking as citizens of heaven? That garden he has planned and prepared for us so that we can be with him forever. Are we walking as citizens of that place of heaven? I think it's a good question to ask ourselves. Do we live knowing that our destination is heaven? It's not thrown up for grabs. A destination is a destination. When I tell people where I live, they say, could you give me a physical address? In fact, I think Don's guys work that way. Give me a physical address, and they put that in GPS, and that's the destination. That's where it's going. I've been GPS'd. I'm in it. He put me in there. I know where I'm going. My destination is heaven. I don't have any doubts whatsoever. I know exactly where I'm going. Here's what he said in Philippians 3:20. For our conversation, or in other words, our citizenship, is in heaven. It's in heaven, from which also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. What a garden to hear God say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Come on into the garden that I've prepared for you. Come on in and let's walk hand in hand and face to face in eternity. Come on in and do that. When we were making plans for Kay, the kids went in with me, and they were offering certain things that could be said. Things that could be put on the card, and if you got a card, you remember it. It was this one right here. You got one of those when you went in. And the kid said, I think we ought to put on it, I fought a good fight. They weren't talking about the cancer. Even though she fought that cancer, and I was so proud of her and how she fought. They weren't talking about that. They were talking about the garden. They were talking about the little babies in the nurseries for 50 years that she took care of, where kids now are in their 50s with their own children. And they remember she fought the fight. It wasn't easy taking care of those babies. It wasn't easy taking care of those little children in the Sunday school class. Sometimes little kids can be mean and cruel. But she fought a good fight. She never quit. I know I've talked to some of our Sunday school teachers here, and they say, I don't know if I'm made out for this or not. I can't seem to reach them. I can't seem to touch them. I said, just keep going. You're going to reach them. You're going to touch them. It's a fight. It's a good fight. And we got to fight the good fight. And when we get in this garden, it's not going to be easy. There's going to be days when you say, I just don't want to work this garden anymore. You say, surely not. I say, surely yes. There's been a lot of times I get up on Monday morning and I say, I don't think I want to pastor anymore. You say, why? Well, hang around me for another 50 years. Satan will try his best to get you off track, folks. We got a garden to plant. We got lives to touch. We got a fight to fight, and it's a good fight. But it's going to end up in the garden of paradise. Face to face, hand to hand. Isn't that good, Gene? Oh, that's good stuff. It's going to end up there. And that's where we're going to be forever and ever and ever and ever. Carolyn Whaley, I'm looking forward to being with you. I want to be with every one of you. I don't want a soul in here left out. I want you to know where you're going, and I want to work with you. Let us pray. My prayer is that you know the creator of the garden. If you don't, this would be a good day to say, I want Jesus Christ as my Savior, and I want him to forgive me of my unbelief in him. But if you have already accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, and you've just been going along, walking by the garden and looking at it and admiring it and saying that's a good idea, why not grab a hoe? Why not plant some seed? Why not get involved? And let's see what good things God can do. We've seen what God has done at Liberty Fellowship this year. Mercy, he has blessed us so. Now he's given us another opportunity to get in the garden. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for giving us this opportunity. And Lord, as we learn more Sunday after Sunday of what it takes to reach the lost at any cost, God, I pray that you'll bless each and every heart here today. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand to our feet, please. And while we stand, we're going to sing a verse of this song.